Good morning, Barbados. I'm David Ellis, and I welcome you to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks, the Tuesday edition. And in this particular one, we call it the People's Parliament. This is the opportunity for you to discuss with us some of the pertinent issues leading up to general elections in Barbados this year. The focus today is on Crime and Deviance Part 2. Now, you know that in the first part of this session, which was carried last week, we looked more at the social factors responsible for crime and deviance in the country. And we sought to come up with some ideas and some suggestions for dealing with the problem at that level. Today, the focus is on the legal system here in Barbados. Now, wherever you go, whoever you talk with, you hear complaints about how slow the system of justice is in Barbados and the consequences associated with that. There are people who believe that justice delayed is justice denied. There are those who believe that they are victims of a system that is not working as well as it ought to. There are others who say, well, Barbados is not alone. There are so many other countries that have a similar problem. And the impression is given that there is nothing that can be done about it. Political parties, especially the two major political parties in this country, have spoken time and time again in general election campaigns about the need to fix the system. But truth be told, it appears to many of us as though, rather than getting better, this system seems to be getting worse. The question is, why? And what can really be done about it? Or should we just put our hands up in the air and surrender? Well, today, we expect to have representatives of four of the political parties with us. We have two people here with us already, in the persons of Paul Gibson of Solutions Barbados and Nigel Newton of the UPP. The Barbados Labour Party has said that they will be represented by Edmund Hinkson, and I am waiting to hear from the ruling Democratic Labour Party. BIM has said that unfortunately for them, they will not be able to send a representative today. But let's give a little bit of background. I actually got hold of a document that was written a couple years ago, which focused on what were seen as some of the major challenges facing us in the legal system. That report, which was done coming out of a survey, said that the majority of adjournments in the court system could be attributed to seven main causes: the case file not ready or lost, the attorney absent, the accused absent, the accused not represented, witnesses absent, notes of evidence for record of appeal awaited, and scheduling of appeal hearing. They made five major recommendations, and these were: change in police procedures to reduce bureaucracy, introduction of court management technology for scheduling and court reporting, assignment of responsibility for witness warnings to specific persons within the police force, and additional assistance for accused persons, as well as penalties for late adjournment requests. The question is, after all this work was done, what difference have we seen? Well, Edmund Hinkson is here with us, and as a practicing attorney, you are certainly in a position to share with us what you have seen of this legal system and the extent to which the hurdles that many people point to, hurdles that ultimately they will tell you are helping to undermine business confidence in this country as well, because it is one of the principal factors highlighted in the difficulty of doing business in Barbados. So, your opening comments on this issue, Edmund Hinkson.
Good morning, David. Morning, fellow panelists and fellow Barbadians and the Barbadian community. Thanks for inviting the Barbados Labour Party here today, and the invitation, of course, to me to be the representative of my party on this program. This very important discussion, as I understand it, crime and social deviance and the legal issues and how we can improve the administration of justice to deal with this crying social problem. Clearly, the administration of justice in Barbados is in tremendous need of reforms, but it is not only a legal issue which needs to be confronted and dealt with in this country to move it forward, but it's tied in, of course, with the whole developmental aspect of Barbados and the need to reform our educational institutions and to look at community building. We can, of course, easily say that we need more judges, and we always say that we need to strengthen our judiciary. For instance, we need to give our judges, each judge, legal clerks, and strengthen the resources available to judges. Clearly, we need to have a system, and in our draft manifesto, which, of course, everyone is free to go on the internet and look at, we speak to the need of persons who are charged that within 9 months, for serious crimes certainly, within 9 months of being charged with an offense, the verdict is known, and that in fact when you're charged with a serious offense, that within 6 months the case starts. We speak in our draft manifesto towards specialization of judges in particular areas of law, because it can't be a situation where a judge who has worked all their life maybe in drafting in the government service, you then put to deal for a whole year with criminal matters. We speak, of course, to a permanent law reform commission whereby laws are constantly reviewed, because one of the issues we have had as a post-colonial country is that in 1966, when we became independent, we were given a constitution which basically all the other Commonwealth Caribbean countries coming out of colonialism from Great Britain were given, saving pre-existing laws that pre-existed the constitution. And that clearly is a problem. So the Barbados Labour Party, for instance, is committed to decriminalizing a lot of offenses that don't need to be criminalized. We can't be continuously criminalizing our people for matters such as vending, for instance, or for speeding when you should have ticketing offenses. But, you know, I will stop here, David, and give the others a chance to respond. Certainly, these are issues that we would expand on, I would expand on later in the program. But all of this can't be looked at in a vacuum. We have to look at societal issues as a whole, see how we can strengthen families, see how we can strengthen values in our children.
That's why we split this into two. We recognize that it was such a big issue that we couldn't lump the social and these bottlenecks which people point to within the legal system together in any one discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, that brings us to Paul Gibson from Solutions Barbados. How do you see the problem?
Solutions Barbados believes that the issue of crime in Barbados is very real, and the systems that manage the criminal process and the court processes are really where a lot of the bottlenecks are occurring. We believe that it's the same reason as criminals are not being processed efficiently, the same reason the sewer system is not being processed efficiently, is this, it comes back to the same central thing.
What's that?
Which is a matter of management and proper management of the system. we have a parallel to ourselves in Bermuda, where cases are tried a lot faster. Companies are opened faster. Within 2 weeks, we take 6 months to open a company. We take years to process criminals, and we put them up for remand at Her Majesty's pleasure. For many, many years, not even months, but years. And sometimes we believe that the whole matter of understanding that you're serving your people, serving your country, is very important. And because of that, we come right back to one of our pivotal parts or policies that we purport, which is that of the ISO 9001, which is a management system, a quality management system that looks at how people and processes how people are treated and what experience customers have. If the same thinking is brought to our court system, we will see by using the principles of the ISO 9001 that you could actually clean up a lot of the matters in the criminal justice system by using that process to comb through.
Well, forgive me. Sure. I hear this.
You're forgiven.
But, you know, we got to get down to some specifics.
Yes.
To tell me that you're going to put ISO 9001 on the table, it's...
In the criminal justice system?
Right, sure. No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's get down to specifics as to exactly how the management system will work in the courts to make that difference.
Okay. I'm happy you asked that question, because it is the same principle that would be used in the Customs Department, in BRA, in the Solutions Barbados government will ensure that this policy becomes a normal part of all departments in government. And what will happen is we'll bring, upon assuming office, we will immediately bring all PSs into a room and pretty much roll out what the intent and the objectives of the ISO 9001.
We understand the intent and the objectives.
And these are.
We just want to get you down to just some specifics. Look,
sure.
We have just heard here from the representative of the Barbados Labour Party that they will have a permanent law reform commission. They are saying to us that serious cases will be heard in 6 months, that within 9 months you will get a verdict from other cases. They're talking about strengthening the judiciary, more judges and that sort of thing. So, I mean, as far as you're concerned, the only thing that is required here is improved management. Well, if you're telling me that there's a need for improved management, tell me specifically where the management weaknesses are and exactly how ISO 9000 would make the difference.
Okay. We have I'm glad you asked that question, because this comes back down to...
Sorry, not 9,000, 9,001.
9,001, thank you. We've had governments for the last 50 years in this country, and we've had this system of cases being delayed, people put in remand for many, many years, ongoing for many years. This is nothing new. And we've had the leadership of the Barbados Labour Party, we've had the leadership of the Democratic Labour Party. We've brought people in from overseas to head our high court section of the, to head our magistrates and judges. And we are in the same exact position that we were probably from the beginning of independence. So having recorded in a manifesto that you are going to do this and do that is not necessarily the answer, because at the end of the day, you need execution. And this is central to the ISO 9001 process, where the five whys are asked. Now, if we ask ourselves the question, why has it happened? We do also want cases to be heard and adjudicated in a 9-month period in terms of very serious crimes and other crimes under 6 months. But at the end of the day, this system is being managed by people. And the question is, what are persons doing within the court system? We believe that the seriousness of understanding why the system needs to be combed through and to be sorted out is very important. And it's all to do with people. Now, central to the ISO 9001 is people. The issue of putting somebody in prison for, let's say, marijuana for 2 years is crazy. The government, we the people, are paying for that. And we, Solutions Barbados, believe that the offenders are costing the court system money. We also believe that the judges, the magistrates, and the lawyers, it's time that they wake up and do what they are paid to do and do what they are supposed to do. What is that?
Are you going to penalize them?
Well, this should be up for consideration. This is something that has been proposed over many years, that when persons when there are long delays in processes as a result of a practicing lawyer, that something should be done. That is not done at the moment, as far as I understand.
Okay, let me get to some specifics here. The particular study that I looked at said the process of preparation of case files is bureaucratic.
That's a management problem.
And requires several ranks of police officers to check the files and verify that they are ready to go to trial.
Right.
For summary cases, a constable may investigate the case, and then the files are examined by the sergeant, the station sergeant, and inspector before being passed for trial. It goes on to say that during investigations, the police must ensure that everyone mentioned in the case is interviewed as a potential witness. It is estimated that approximately 10% of potential witnesses will try to evade the police because they are apprehensive of standing as a witness to a crime that has been committed. Then it goes on to say that crimes are increasing in complexity and sophistication, and so require greater resources from the police to investigate them. It talks too about inadequate training of police. These are specific points that have been raised as creating the bottleneck in the system. What Barbadians want to get from those who are advancing themselves as potential leaders would be some specific responses to these types of issues. Have you seen this report?
I have. I have, and particularly, I repeat that everything you mentioned is an act. It is something that someone needs to do. Everything that you therein mentioned, someone needs to do.
Right. Well,
so why is it that persons are not executing and doing what they're supposed to do?
Well, let's hear from the UPP. Nigel Newton from the UPP, and I just want to remind you, all the political parties were invited to send representatives to these discussions, and they all consented so to do. As we sit here, BIM said that they couldn't send anybody today, and I'm still waiting to hear from the ruling Democratic Labour Party, whom I'm willing to accommodate even on the telephone if they are having difficulties, okay? Nigel Newton.
Yes, good morning. Well, the United Progressive Party is very concerned about the delay in the court system. And we believe and we know that this is crucial because it results in the delay of justice. And we propose as a party to institutional strengthening by way of introducing technology into the court system so as to speed up the process.
So what do you mean by introducing it as though it doesn't exist? It exists already, so how much more are you going to do? Where is the inadequacy, and how are you going to make a difference?
Well, we propose to make the difference by training of individuals within the court system.
Training where? Because training does exist right now.
Yes, training does exist right now to a point, but we propose to increase access to justice through alternative dispute resolution. That is one way in which we propose to introduce changes into the system so as to speed up the progress or the delivery of justice in the system.
Alternative dispute resolution is something that has been spoken of. There has been some movement to it. There has been training in alternative dispute resolution in Barbados as well. If you're saying that, then it would be useful to get you to give an assessment of why we haven't made more progress with it, because that has to be the foundation on which you are now going to build.
Yeah, we have not, the country has not made enough improvement of we are not as successful as we should be in that area because the caseload in the court system, the court is overloaded with cases, minor cases that could be settled outside of the court system.
How would you fix that?
How would I fix that? We will introduce community justice, where we would go into the communities, we will strengthen the communities, and matters that do not require the attention of the court, then we would have those settled in the community.
How? Let's get some more specifics
by training
on that.
For example, we would allow justices of the peace to deal with small matters.
Such as?
Shoplifting, a young person who is hungry going into a supermarket and taking up, let's say, a pack of corn kernels, okay? Rather than having that person go before the court and take up valuable court time, then a matter like that, as small as that, can be dealt with in the community by a justice of the peace or some other person who is identified and given specific training so that they can deal with such matters, small matters.
Okay, we're coming right back to this discussion, but we have a breaking news story here, and Patrick Ward from the newsroom is here to share that information with us. What's it, Patrick?
Well, good morning to you and to all our listeners. A few minutes ago, about 9:30 this morning, we received a call that there was an incident in the River Van Stand that I just came from over there, and the public relations officer, Inspector Rodney Innes, confirmed that a man was stabbed. He was taken to QEH, but he apparently succumbed to his injuries. Right now, there are hundreds of people out in the Van Stand. The traffic is being diverted, and we will give you more details as they come to hand.
Thank you very much, Patrick Ward. We await those details on the identity of that particular individual and any other related developments. It comes as we are discussing the legal system in this country, and one of the major concerns, you've heard it time and time again, that the Caribbean Court of Justice, no less a court than that, has said that cases in Barbados take by far too long to be adjudicated. Edmund Hinkson says that the Barbados Labour Party is going to speed up the process. What else will you do to make that a reality, Mr. Hinkson?
First, I would, of course, wish to express deepest sympathy on behalf of my party and myself to the victim here today that we just heard of in the River Bus Terminal. And it is unfortunate that And it's not a political issue, David, that, we are failing to resolve conflict by peaceful means. And, we are growing to be unappreciative of people of diversity and, people who are not as us. And we feel that we have to resolve these matters by violence, and clearly this is something that all of us as political and social leaders in Barbados have to look at. We have to find the political will to address the issue. It is not only a legal solution, as I said, David, and I know you had part one of this last week where you looked at social matters, but we can't discuss law outside of the context of the whole society. Social engineering, or the law must look within terms of social engineering. I listened very carefully to what Paul said of Solutions Barbados. What he said is symptomatic of his party, which seems to believe that every single issue and challenge in Barbados could be solved by ISO 9001. Shows, quite frankly, the impracticality and the lack of experience of the people who make up the leadership of Solutions Barbados, because you were correct, David, in trying to pin him down to exactly what means in terms of management.
I'm trying to pin you down now.
Administration.
I'm trying to get you to be more specific as to how you are going to be able to speed up this process. And so you come back, you get a few seconds because we got to go to
a
commercial
in
break.
Addition,
so let's go to the break and come right back. We want to hear from you. Yes, down to brass tacks. We were hearing from Edmund Hinkson as he spelled out, or sets out to spell out, exactly how the Barbados Labour Party is going to be able to speed up the process of certain cases being completed in this system which has been suffering from gridlock.
Thank you, David. I agree, I'm at one with Nigel, who would have mentioned in terms of the technology. You tried to pin him down. Look, yes, we do have availability of technology within our court system, but the question is whether it is utilized to as great an effect as it should be. This would involve, of course, greater training of those who use the technology, the legal assistants, the clerks, etc. And I am not sure at all, having been a practicing lawyer in Barbados now for 33 years, that we have trained our stakeholders and our staff connected with the administration of justice enough to utilize the technology to the fullest degree. That clearly is an issue that we need to look at going forward.
Let me put to you something that all of you have to address. This document that I have here says that the adjournments that are initiated by the defense constituted approximately 44% of the total and were found to be mainly due to either the attorney or the accused person being absent.
Right.
Now, if one is going to speed up the process in the way that you suggest, we have to tackle these factors that are causing so many of the attorneys to be absent. When you read the document a little bit more, they indicate that many times you have fewer people who are involved in criminal law than people who are involved in corporate law. And these few people are sometimes straddling cases between the magistrate's court and the high court. And the alignment of the cases clashes. Now, let's get down to specifics. If you're going to be able to speed up the process as you're suggesting, you've got to be fixing that problem. What are you going to do?
I agree with you, David, that is a fundamental problem, adjournments. But the police in a lot of cases are not ready to pursue the matter.
Let's deal with the police separately.
We're going to deal with
Let's
separately.
Deal with the attorney's, issue.
Now, a judge or a magistrate is in control of a case, not a defense lawyer. And my view with respect to the judiciary, without, of course, criticizing anyone, holder of that office, is that the judges, those in charge of the judiciary, need to be firmer, and that if the police are ready to start at a case and or to continue a case and the judiciary is ready, we cannot have these adjournments.
But Mr. Hinkson, a lawyer can't be in two places at the same time. Well, if you've got a decision to deal with in the high court and one in the lower court, but you can't be in two places at the same time?
Well, therefore, that means that we need to work later. We need to be able to work into the evenings, as one or two judges do. But it can't be a situation where a court concludes its business of the day at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
All right. Well, that means that if you are committing as a party to this kind of timeline, that you are going to put something in place where that will not be determined by moral suasion alone. What is it?
Yes, leadership has to count for something. And this
Thank you very
is what
much.
We have been lacking in Barbados, the leadership and the political will to carry out. We speak gloriously in terms of the rhetoric of the situation, but the implementation has been severely defective, especially in the last 10 years.
Caused by what?
As I said, political leadership. You have an attorney general, you have a cabinet of Barbados that is responsible ultimately for the security of a country, the administration of justice, and they can give directions even though you cannot intervene specifically into the
You see this report that I'm talking about? This report was in 2005,
yes.
From the National Task Force on Crime Prevention when the Labour Party was in power. These allegations and concerns were being expressed all back then.
David?
Yeah, but we're going forward.
And David, when you ask yourself the question, who was leading the country at that time?
Precisely.
It was the Barbados Labour Party. and it seems to be that they had said that Mr. Hinkson is purporting that Solutions Barbados is inexperienced and so on. And I'm here to let him know that this is why we are proposing ourselves as candidates, because the issue is that a large majority of our party members have run businesses, local and international, and know how to get things done. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in Parliament who do not know how to execute. They may be lawyers and so on, but in terms of running business and talking about profitability and having key performance indicators put in place to make sure that people execute, it is something that is severely lacking, not only in the Barbados Labour Party, but in the Democratic Labour Party. And this is where Solutions Barbados has a very strong, could have a very strong impact on the right siding of this country and the way it is run. Now, for example, David mentioned from his report that the lawyers
cause a lot of the delay.
A lot of the delay.
And because of conflicts.
Because of conflicts.
Let me hear how you would fix
this.
ISO 9001 would fix this?
That is a process issue. And so you have to look at the processes that are related
how?
To this system.
Let's give me some specifics.
No, and I'll give some kudos to David Simmons, as he was one of the best leaders thus far in the legal system in Barbados, where he insisted and demanded that his magistrates and judges operated in a particular form and fashion and operated using particularly key performance indicators. You could insist to your lawyers that you could eliminate some of these conflicts by putting proper systems and processes in places and punishments if they are or even dismissal of cases and so on if they forfeit.
Is this what Solutions Barbados is committed to? And if so, what are the punishments?
Okay, well, I Solutions Barbados is definitely committed to the reform of the legal system. First of all, we do believe that the offenders really should be paying for the system, one, but that some of the cases that are found in court, the lighter cases, don't need to be, we could set up a separate court just to manage that system. And some of the more violent complaints, the way, in terms of our training of our graduates from university, if we need more defense lawyers and so on, channel our educational processes and so on to provide enough warm bodies so that the system has enough warm bodies to deal with the issues that are facing.
Okay, well, you haven't answered my question about the penalties, but I'm going to come back to you on that later.
Yes.
Right now, we're going to go to somebody from the Bar Association of Barbados. I think it's Kristen Turton.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Now, from your vantage point at the Bar Association, what are the concerns and what are some of the things that you believe need to be done to improve this system when it comes to the legal side of trying to cope with crime and deviance in the Barbadian society?
At present, one of the primary concerns we find is that there are a number of persons who are unwilling to join the criminal bar, if you can term it that. A number of persons who are being called to the bar are unwilling to join and to contribute in that particular way, particularly because I suppose many of them are females and many of them are unsure of the risks associated with representing persons who are charged with offenses. What the bar has been doing to address that largely is to encourage a number of younger persons to come and to observe court and to represent persons and understand the importance of that particular role. That is a very crucial element, because at the moment we do have a very small complement of attorneys who do criminal law. Many of them are quite willing to show younger attorneys exactly what the process is like and the things that need to be done.
And what's the consequence of that?
We've been doing that.
What's the consequence and how that impacts on the slowness within the system?
Yes, of course. Because of the fact that they're not sufficient attorneys, what you find is the more senior attorneys are the ones who will be in the high court. So, for example, you will find persons like Andrew Pilgrim and Angela Mitchell Gittins and Arthur Holder being the persons who have to do trials in the high court. that they are doing trials in the High Court, they obviously cannot also do trials in the Magistrates Court. So that causes some challenges in relation to those matters which are at the Magistrates Court level, which reach a trial stage and where an attorney is really required. You also find that that in and of itself creates substantial delays in both areas, because if you only have a few attorneys that are doing that at the High Court, then matters cannot be disposed of quickly enough. Also, one of the other problems that I find exists is that there is a substantial delay in the preparation of matters at both levels, whether that be the Magistrates Court level or the High Court level. So you find that persons are going to court repeatedly for adjournments, and adjournments which have absolutely nothing to do with whether or not the attorney is present. Most matters, in my experience, are adjourned about 3 or 4 times within the first year, with the knowledge that nothing is going to happen within that first year.
Well, the document that I saw suggested that adjournments needed to be requested before the date of the court hearing. It said back then, a large proportion of adjournments were requested on the day of the hearing, either explicitly or by default, when one of the persons required for the hearing is absent, and this wastes court time. So all back in 2005, this was recognized. Mm-hmm. What has happened since then?
Well, what I can say is that in my experience, having been practicing in the criminal court since 2009, is that there's no request for adjournment prior to the date. On the date, what generally happens is that the prosecution, normally represented by the police officers, will indicate that they're not in a position to proceed, and they will request an adjournment. And this adjournment is accepted without any challenge from the court. And normally, up to the first 9 months or so, without challenge from the attorney, because we know that that is how the system operates.
How would we improve
the challenge
this?
The challenge that poses is this. Well, this is the point, too. If you're adjourning matters, it takes about the first 2 hours of every day in court is spent adjourning matters. Every day. The court will normally sit for about 4 to 5 hours. So you spend 2 hours adjourning matters. One of the proposals to address that issue is to simply set a trial date, which is about 9 months down the road, so that the persons do not have to come to court repeatedly and spend time waiting simply for their matters to be adjourned. And the court will then be able to deal with substantive cases for the 2 hours that they no longer have to spend adjourning matters. So that if you actually set a trial date or a date for example, disclosure to be provided, disclosure being the statements of all of the witnesses who are supposed to come in the case so that the parties can be properly prepared. If you don't have to go through that process every day of adjourning for 2 hours, that will allow the court to actually dispose of matters during that time.
But Mrs. Sturton,
a much more efficient way of dealing with
one can assume that this idea is not new. This is not the first time that this has been put to before anybody. And surely the people who work within the system have been advancing this as a solution. Why is it that it has been so difficult to have it implemented?
Well, I can't really say. I mean, I do know that some magistrates take the cue that if the matter is adjourned every 3 months, it keeps it fresher in the mind of the prosecution so that they will actually compile the file. But that's not what should be required. That's not how we should be making that determination. If there's a date set for something to occur, then they should simply be operating to make it happen on that date.
It's been recommended that a system
reminder dates in between.
A system of penalties for late adjournment requests should be introduced. That hasn't happened.
No, most certainly not.
Anybody can say.
I do find that occurs, for example, more so in the civil courts, that will occur because that is largely party driven. And what will happen is that cost will be imposed by one party over the other. But there's never been any system of that sort, as far as I'm aware, in relation to criminal matters.
Any of the political parties supporting that?
I'm supporting. Solutions Barbados will support penalties for persons that are causing delays in the system deliberately, because it is a strategy that is employed by some lawyers. I do get very concerned from the emotional and people element. When you have human beings that are being almost punished and leaving them to rot in Glendaring because some lawyer does not want to do his job in a normal building or institution or any other private setting, they would be fired. They would be fired. Why is it that we are tolerating? Why is it that we are tolerating and allowing Barbadians to suffer at the hands of a poor legal system? It needs fixing. And I'll tell you something. All lawyers are not created equal. There are some excellent lawyers in this country. There are some brilliant lawyers and some hardworking lawyers. But concomitantly, there are some lazy lawyers in Barbados. And some people, this is why we are encouraging penalties for persons that are blatantly delaying cases from being called by using tactics.
Nigel Newton from the UPP. Just let me get Nigel Newton's input because we've kept him here on silent and pause for far too long.
Well, from my experience in the court system, I think that a lot of the delays in hearing cases, the delay is due sometimes to timing. The court operate between mainly 9 a.m. and sometimes I believe it closes around 3:30, like that. That time frame. Okay, then there is the attorneys have heavy caseloads in that they have, for example, an attorney may have a case in Oystens and he goes to that case in Oystens, but then he also has another case, say, at Holton. And therefore, the scheduling of cases and then moving from one location to the other could cause, do cause problems, and therefore, in that instance, the case...
What's your solution?
Well, my solution, one, we need to focus on crime reduction. That would assist the court in dealing more effectively with cases, and two, attorneys should be better able to schedule their cases so as not to cause the need for adjournment of cases.
So the attorneys alone will schedule the cases? I mean, well, isn't it a combination of the system itself and the attorneys working with the system?
Well, that would also help. But what I'm
but
focusing
that is not your focus.
That is what I'm focusing in on is the caseload of the attorney who may have.
Well, we spoke earlier, Mr. Newton, about the fact that because of the shortage of criminal lawyers in the country, a criminal lawyer can find himself with a case in the magistrate's court, and on the same day, a case in the high court. And one person has indicated here to me that, and I want to refer to some of the comments that people bring to us, that David, if an attorney has a case in the high court and one in the magistrate's court, they say the high court takes precedence and they seek adjournments. Also, if they are not paid, they seek adjournments. So that factor needs to be looked at.
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay. Now, we are joined by a representative of the ruling Democratic Labour Party in none other than Mr. Michael Carrington.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Now, Mr. Carrington, where does the Democratic Labour Party stand on this matter? Because the need to speed up justice, but far from justice appearing to be speeded up, it is one of the major complaints in this country. I mean, only yesterday on social media, somebody was saying that if justice had been meted out properly, we would not have had a death yesterday. Now, basically, that's the kind of sentiment that comes from some people, that the system is failing, and where it fails, there is a high cost. So where does the Democratic Labour Party stand on these issues?
Yes, well, as you would appreciate, this is a matter which has been attracting attention for quite a while, and we recognize that it is not satisfactory. The Democratic Labour Party, or the administration, isn't something that we have been sleeping on, essentially. You may know that I think it's sometime next month the Chief Justice is expected to give a practice direction with respect to plea bargaining. that has been endorsed as one of the ways of freeing up the system to some extent, so that you have those cases which you feel can be settled or dealt with in that way, basically being taken off the list. In addition to that, there's been training for judicial officers. There has also been a joint committee of the bench and the bar looking at the matter, and I think one of the suggestions which has been put on the table is the increase in judges, and that is being considered.
May I suggest to you that you're talking about things that are being considered. To be realistic, the first order of business is to ask an incumbent, what have you done that has made a difference? Once you are in leadership, people want to see and hear what you can point to and say, look, we came in, the situation was at this point, we did these things, and these are the things that made a positive difference. Can you point to anything?
Well, if you're talking about things like building roads and debushing, it's easy to point to those kind of things. But if you're talking about justice, where you're also looking at the very human aspect of it, you're talking about the role of the judges. You're talking about the rights of the accused. I don't think it's so easy to point in that kind of way.
So you're essentially saying that you can point to nothing. Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's the interpretation, I was just telling you what has been done and what is being done. The fact that we have had training, that has been done. We have appointed persons to assist the judicial officers.
But you haven't been able to measure.
The point is that
essentially what you're saying is that for all that you have done, you have not been able to measure success. That's basically what you said.
I am saying that I am not able to point you to any successes because of the nature of what we are dealing with.
We're saying the same thing.
Want to be able to say that, look, okay, so we reduced the amount of cases by five cases last year. Is that the kind of thing you want to be able to say? I'm saying you're not going to get it.
It should be measurable, David. I believe that everything is quantifiable. Whether law, science, or social services, you can quantify and measure. No, I'm sitting with a few lawyers here. I'm sure that there are certain judges that you don't have a problem going before, because that you know that matter would be adjudicated with rapidity. That there's some people I know you can think of right now that you would be happy to have your case come before, because they will deal with the matter and dispose of it
with speed,
with alacrity. And the same way there are judges that can deal with things in a quantifiable and definite way and put it away, it's the same way that you could deal with all cases. Now, we hired a gentleman by the name of the Chief Justice Gibson, who worked in an international environment, was accustomed to international systems and having a high throughput of cases in the environments that he worked in. We brought that honorable gentleman to Barbados to right side our major problem. We've had the Barbados Labour Party trying to do it and failing. We've had the Democratic Labour Party in power for the last 40 years, and there've been no movement.
Not 40.
Sorry, forgive me.
Yeah, your party.
That's the point. The point I'm making, they've been there very, very long. Yeah. But the Barbados Labour Party, 14 years, Democrat Labour, 10 years.
Unless you're giving them an additional.
No. Solutions Barbados is one of the things.
The point is that the
issue still is staring us in the face. And we have to set key performance indicators for lawyers, for judges.
Okay.
We should also hire, remember
there are other panelists here.
I know, but we should also hire additional magistrates.
How many?
Well, this will be done based on a proper assessment of the environment. This should have been done already.
I'm coming right back to this discussion. We are looking at deviance and crime in Barbados, the legal system that we are operating with. And when we come back, somebody says here, they want the panel to speak on how the current state of the system is impacting on civil matters, business, and the economy as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the People's Parliament.